Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber, not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
I think that you're probably the most positive thing I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, KPHX Phoenix, 1480 AM, Nova M Network, 1480kphx.com, our audio archives, where you can listen to Exopolitics Radio 24/7, any time of the day, for free, to get that extra cosmic boost into the highest level of upper theater, as we call it, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Today we have a very special program, a continuation of our conversation on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace with our Exopolitics Radio commentator, Dr. Michael Sala. And in that connection, we at the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative have taken this very, shall we say, uncertain moment in our human history. You're listening to this on the night of September 1st, 2007, with a great deal of uncertainties. And I would like to read to you from an open letter to the Prime Minister of Canada concerning the extraterrestrial presence. And this was sent to the Prime Minister of Canada by Exopolitics Toronto and by the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, of which the Institute for Cooperation in Space is a member, which began in March of 2005 when we tabled in front of the Canadian Senate Committee on National Security a request, a formal request for hearings on the extraterrestrial presence and for what we call the Exopolitics Initiative. In other words, a decade of contact, a 10-year period of publicly funded research, curriculum development, education, and also what we would call disclosure of advanced, non-polluting, new energy sources, which now exist within the national security state, developed from extraterrestrial transferred technology, which should be in the public domain for the benefit of all humankind. This would immediately release all of the so-called oil wars and energy wars that we have, as well as the low-level nuclear war that is carried out against the human population through nuclear power, through the ionizing radiation released by nuclear power and depleted uranium weapons as part of these so-called energy warfares, which are really just a masquerade for an intentional depopulation policy. So here are excerpts from an open letter to the Prime Minister of Canada concerning the extraterrestrial presence. You can read this letter in full at our website, which is www.exopolitics.com. And if you go to listen to our archives, exopoliticsradio.com, you'll be able to link right into exopolitics.com. Dear Prime Minister, based upon an analysis of multiple circumstances within and outside of Canada, we as a nation are faced with an extraordinary, unprecedented moral crisis and a decision involving the public examination and disclosure of information of the most extraordinary kind. Four remarkable international and Canadian events have prompted Exopolitics Toronto and the associated members of the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, including the Institute for Cooperation in Space, to bring this matter to your attention. First of all, the governments of France in March 2007 and the United Kingdom in May 2007 have decided to release to the international scientific community previously classified documentation on extraterrestrial craft now visiting Earth. Secondly, Her Excellency Governor General of Canada, Michael Jean. In Canada, the Governor General is the representative of the Queen. There's still a complex constitutional relationship between Canada and the Queen of England, who remains the head of state of Canada. And the Governor General of Canada is Michael Jean, who came to Canada as a Haitian immigrant. She's a black woman who was a CBC broadcaster, very enlightened woman. In her May 30th, 2007 response to a May 17th, 2007 correspondence from the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, in other words, we wrote to the Governor General, the Institute for Cooperation in Space, Exopolitics Toronto, and a number of other parties, wrote to the Governor General of Canada suggesting that she be briefed on the extraterrestrial presence. And she suggested, in turn, that we communicate with the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, that's the Canadian equivalent of the CIA, to ascertain the state of concern in Ottawa regarding the extraterrestrial phenomenon in Canada. Third, Admiral Roscoe Hillenkater, the first director of the CIA from 1947 to 1950, stated, "It is time for the truth to be brought out. Behind the scenes, high-ranking officers are soberly concerned about UFOs. I urge immediate congressional action to reduce the dangers from secrecy about unidentified flying objects." Well, that, you know. Four, the United Nations General Assembly. I stumble on that Admiral Roscoe quote because I think that he's fear-mongering. There are no dangers from unidentified flying objects. The extraterrestrials are here to help us through this very dangerous period. Four, the United Nations General Assembly voted to approve Decision 33-426, inviting UN member states to take appropriate steps to coordinate on a national level scientific research and investigation into extraterrestrial life, including unidentified objects, and to inform the Secretary General of the observations, research, and evaluation of such activities. So then we go on to propose a new era for Canada, starting on Monday, September 17th, 2007, which is when the Parliament of Canada reconvenes. We request that the Prime Minister of Canada come forth and state publicly its commitment to making known the extraterrestrial presence and the existence of radically new energy sources that will eliminate the need for fossil fuels and of the existence of technologies capable of transforming the planet's environmental chaos into an era of new solutions and environmental sustainability. And we urge the Prime Minister to state, number one, that the U.S. government, as a major player among many, has sequestered these new energy technologies behind a wall of deep secrecy for over six decades. Number two, that these technologies have been used for weaponry and other national security purposes and not for a genuine response to the planet's spiraling environmental degradation. As we've shown here on Exopolitics Radio, through interviews with James Sparks and others, the extraterrestrials have stated that this is contrary to their wishes when they transfer that technology to the United States government via secret human extraterrestrial liaison programs over the course of the last 60 years. And so we go on to state what the evidence is that you can draw upon the statements in April and May of Great Britain's Ministry of Defense that it will be releasing its UFO sightings, the statement in March of 2007 that the French National Space Agency is placing 1,600 previously classified extraterrestrial sighting reports into the public domain. You can remind the people that the Honorable Paul Hellyer, Canada's Minister of Defense from 1963 to 67, and later the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, publicly stated in September of 2005 that extraterrestrial craft are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head, and that he then called for a full government investigation into this matter. This is as though a vice president of the United States and a former Secretary of Defense would call publicly for a revelation that the extraterrestrials are here and are here to help humankind. And there are many other elements of proof that can be given, including the fact that in the 1950s, the Canadian Department of Transportation actually had a program going, actually had a funded program for the development of new energy sources based upon extraterrestrial craft. And it was in those sources, and you can go on the internet and you can view the actual archives. It's up on Canada Archives, which show that the Canadian Department of Transportation between 1950 and 52 had an official funded program to develop new energy sources from observation of extraterrestrial craft, quote, end of quote. That's before the CIA came up here and began clobbering the Canadians into silence. So the letter goes on to ask critical questions. Will Canada act as a member of the UN upon UN Decision 33426 to initiate an investigation? What is the response of the Canadian government to the recent French and British disclosure subjects? Will Canada join the initiatives of France and Britain? Will Canadian MPs promote a form of amnesty to enable hundreds of corporate and military national security insiders to come forward without reprisal to divulge the truth? How will the Parliament react when shown statistics that 78% of Canadians believe that we are not alone in the universe? 52% of those surveyed believe that some form of the craft sighted over Earth are of non-Earth origin. And 60% of Canadians surveyed believe that governmental military secrecy exists concerning the reality of unidentified aerial phenomena. And the letter goes on to request that the Canadian Prime Minister hold open parliamentary hearings. It goes on to state that there be established a Canadian Institute for Exopolitical Education based on the Decade of Contact by Alfred Lambert-Mont Weber, director of the Institute for Cooperation in Space and a member of the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, and requesting unequivocal responses to these questions. So that, in short, is a document that was served upon the Prime Minister of Canada. The Canadian Parliament reconvenes on September 17th, Monday, September 17th, 2007, the third week of September, which should prove to be a very unusual week. Some people are reporting that that week, unknown parties have taken out a total of $6 billion in put options, betting that the U.S. stock market will crash between 30 and 50%, and that it will crash on the weekend of September 17th. So that's the date that the Canadian Parliament convenes, and on Monday, September 17th, yours truly, Alfred Weber, the host of Exopolitics Radio, will be in the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., along with a number of other speakers at the X Conference, at which we will hold an Exopolitics press conference. I will be proposing a truth amnesty process for disclosure so that the advanced technologies given by extraterrestrials during top secret human extraterrestrial liaison programs over the last 60 years, including time travel, teleportation, which was given to them in order to, for the benefit of humankind, and to be released into the public to relieve the pressure on our living Gaia Earth and to make life on Earth here, you know, a veritable paradise, as is intended by upper level universe civilizations on most life bearing planets. That was the intention of the extraterrestrial civilizations. That intention was thwarted by the National Security State, led by the Rockefeller interest, whose value is now about $10 trillion by reliable estimates, and by the permanent warfare economy, and by the City of London, whose net worth is reliably estimated at $100 trillion, and who are totally vested in the permanent war economy and the status quo. So let's all gather in Washington, D.C. for September 17th, 2007, that very pregnant Monday, where we'll give birth to every day that succeeds thereafter. So if you'd like to read this very excellent open letter drafted by Victor Vigiani and Mike Bird, directors of Exopolitics Toronto, on behalf of the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, please go to www.exopolitics.com and to www.exopoliticsradio.com. Please stay tuned for our intimately related conversation on the subject of extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace, because left to our own devices, the dark elite of this planet, by leading us forward and attempting this to throw us into fear, would keep us in perpetual war. So I say, thank God. Thank God for the upper dimensional, ethical, extraterrestrial civilizations that are here at this time, urging us forward and helping us forward into world peace. This is Exopolitics Radio. This has been an official Exopolitics Radio commentary, and I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned for our interview with Dr. Michael Sala on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We're with Dr. Michael Sala. This is part two of our interview with Michael Sala on the subject of extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. Dr. Sala is a pioneer in the development of exopolitics, the scholarly study of the main actors, institutions, and processes associated with an extraterrestrial presence that is not acknowledged to the general public, elected officials, or the mass media. His groundbreaking work, Exopolitics, Political Implications of the Extraterrestrial Presence, presents the first scholarly framework for understanding the political implications of the extraterrestrial presence and can be accessed at www.exopolitics.org. Welcome back, Michael.
Aloha, Alpha. I'm glad to continue this discussion about ET civilizations and world peace. Very important discussion we're having.
Well, when last we were speaking, we had identified various core groups of extraterrestrials that in this last 60 years, we'll say, that we can call the nuclear era here on Earth, had taken important positions with regard to world peace. All of them, by your research, show that all of them are opposed to the human permanent war economy's use of nuclear weapons because of their effect on the biosphere, on humanity itself, and because of the profound effect on the ecology and the dimensional ecology of the universe itself and on the extraterrestrial civilizations themselves. However, it appears as though at least one group of extraterrestrial civilizations known as the Greys, the smaller Greys, has entered into, by the evidence, or has been conducting secret human extraterrestrial liaison programs with the U.S. government over the past 60 years that involves significant technology transfer, including time travel teleportation technology. Now, what was very interesting to us, Michael, here when we did have the interviews with Jim Sparks, who had 18 years experience in kind of the educational outreach programs, did actually go to U.S. military bases through the teleportation programs, these joint ET government teleportation programs, was that Jim Sparks reports meeting with a group of Greys and reptilians who tell him, look, what has happened is that the U.S. government has actually not honored the terms of the agreements that we entered into with them. These advanced technologies were given to the U.S. government. Our intent was that they were to be for the benefit of all humanity. And one can see how advanced propulsion technologies, how advanced teleportation technologies, which would, you know, not require to have all these highways and masses of steel vehicles being driven around, how that could be of great benefit in eliminating the petroleum and nuclear power civilization that we have, which is a great cause of the wars that we have. And what Jim Sparks maintains in his book and in his statements is that both the Greys and the reptilians have told him that it's the U.S. government that has misappropriated these technologies and is applying them exclusively for purposes for military and intelligence purposes, for purposes of military dominance, not for the benefit of humanity and the environment, which was the intent of the agreement. And I wondered if you could comment on this, because that seems to be a fairly significant position, if that's true.
Well, that would be a very important issue here to consider, is to what extent is such technology something that really would have been distributed to the general public. I mean, would the extraterrestrials have entered into these agreements knowing that the technology would not have been shared, that the government would have reneged on that, or the secret government would have reneged on that? I mean, to what degree are they responsible for that? Because I think this is one of the things that, from an ethical perspective, I mean, we need to consider, well, I mean, if you give advanced technology to someone that misuses it, well, to what extent is the onus of responsibility on those that share the technology as opposed to those that misuse it? Now, clearly the U.S. government has misused this technology and has sequestered it from the private sector in many ways, and has also been very ruthless towards any private inventor that has replicated these advanced technologies. And so they are certainly culpable for many of the acts that have been conducted to prevent this being shared. For the extraterrestrials involved in sharing these technologies, I mean, to what extent would this have been predicted on their, by them? So maybe with the less harmful technologies, there is probably not a great concern over whether this was something that was misused. But there are other technologies that extraterrestrials that are part of these agreements have shared, which we can be very sceptical of their public benefits. For example, cloning. I mean, there is much evidence that has emerged that cloning has been successfully conducted for many years, several decades actually, and that the secret government has been able to clone life forms that they have used for many purposes, some of which are quite nefarious. Now, is that the kind of technology that we really want the secret government to have in their power? And so there are many aspects of the agreements that I would certainly raise as being questionable, but by no means would I excuse the role that the secret government has played in misusing these. I do really raise the ethical aspect to those extraterrestrials that have been part of these agreements. Not that I would condemn them for it, but I certainly would raise ethical questions about their role in these.
Right. You've been listening to our Exopolitics Radio conversation with Dr. Michael Sala on extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We now continue with our Exopolitics Radio commentator, Dr. Michael Sala, on extraterrestrial civilizations and that word, that elusive state of world peace. There's the whole question of whether we, the grassroots, I mean, we're all sort of citizens trying to cope with the fact that many of our governmental institutions, either at the national or the international level, or even the state, local, judiciary, legislative, executive level, have been taken over by anti-democratic forces for the moment, and that these are blocking access to what we can call the ethical extraterrestrial civilizations who want a positive future for humanity. And I came in contact with some people, and there are many different movements along this way, and in a way the Hawaii Declaration had the same impetus. And what they were asserting was to take a very simple sentence, and I'll just read it out here on the earth, on the air. It says, "We the people assert our right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and our planet." Now, that's a very, very simple statement. And that statement is almost a declaration of independence or an affirmation by the grassroots, by we the people. And it also can be a petition to what we could call, if they do exist, the galactic authorities. Now, this is one of the leading edge research questions in exopolitics. We know that there are extraterrestrial civilizations. Well, like any other social science, we would posit that there are governance forms, and there may even be a galactic federation, some form of governance form within the galaxy. And this has been spoken of in many different research things. What do you think of the concept of the grassroots affirming something like this, a very simple statement? It can be affirmed in writing, on the internet, at meetings, and it's directed directly to, quote, the Galactic Federation, so that we're jumping over the heads of our government. I mean, the U.S. Congress is never going to hear us. Over this past weekend, they voted to eliminate the Fourth Amendment, which requires warrants to listen in on conversations, on telephone conversations. So what do you think about this approach?
I think it's a very important approach. In fact, I would consider it to be a citizen diplomacy initiative, where essentially what you have is private citizens taking the initiative to try to deal with a conflict that is intractable in the international arena. And what we have here is an exopolitical conflict. It's a conflict that you describe where you have on the one side the secret government with their agreements with a particular group of extraterrestrials that are resource exchange and technology exchange agreements. And on the other hand, you have a more benign, more ethical, more evolved extraterrestrial civilizations who are part of these galactic councils, and that there is a conflict here because the secret government essentially wants to maintain its monopoly on the Earth's resources, on the Earth's population, on the Earth's territory, and not allow these more advanced extraterrestrial civilizations to come in, make themselves known, and to share their knowledge and their technologies with private citizens. And so this is where there is a conflict. And so what we need to do is to set out or embark upon a number of citizen diplomacy initiatives, such as what you've just described, where we persuade not only the more evolved, ethically oriented extraterrestrial civilizations to intervene on the Earth in ways that promote international peace, but also to encourage the secret government that their days of keeping these things secret and embarking on shadowy false flag operations whereby they manipulate the rest of humanity, that those days are at an end. And I think what we need to do is to really get the benign extraterrestrials to really put an end to these false flag operations, to put an end to these secret programs, to really hoodwink the rest of the population, and in fact hoodwink regular public servants and the regular military. I think that in many ways the regular military and elected political officials are as much in the dark as private citizens when it comes to all of these issues. And so what we need is the intervention of extraterrestrial civilizations to prevent destructive or nefarious false flag operations, which can be used as a cover for more draconian, more repressive policies that will maintain the military-industrial complex. And so, yes, I certainly support those sorts of initiatives as you've described, and also the declarations that the extraterrestrial civilization world peace declaration that emerged from the conference.
One of the aspects that came up in these conversations is to begin to address bodies like the Galactic Federation directly, because any communication with extraterrestrial civilizations and with any governance bodies that do exist, like the Galactic Federation, would be telepathic anyway. But that by beginning to direct the grassroots toward the reality of these governance bodies, we can create a critical mass, redirect a critical mass toward a more universal perspective, away from kind of an exclusively terrestrial perspective. But that this is precisely what the Galactic Federation has been waiting for, because the upper-level extraterrestrial civilizations may be operating under non-intervention protocols. And until a large number of humans really assert their right, I'm just quoting here, their right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials regarding all matters that affect the well-being of ourselves and the planet, that's sort of a precondition for open ethical contact, i.e. there's very much of an interactive component. I think that that's what may have been behind a lot of the movements, such as, do you really want us to show up? You know, these are movements that have appeared over the years to try and develop a critical mass or some quantum of human opinion that actually is consciously saying, yes, we would like an extraterrestrial presence and intervention in a positive, peaceful way that doesn't overwhelm us, but that respects our autonomy. What do you think of those kind of thoughts?
I think that is the key issue here that you've identified, is getting a sufficient number of people to approve that kind of intervention, to approve for extraterrestrials to show up en masse to help humanity deal with the many global environmental problems we have, to help humanity deal with the many resource disparity problems that we have, to deal with the lack of economic distribution, the emergence of these destructive technologies, that we will need help with all of these things because there's been so much damage done. And we need to have a sufficient number of people who have become aware of these issues, which is why the whole exopolitical movement is just such a profoundly important social movement, that we really need to raise the awareness of many millions of people. And once we have done that, once we have reached a critical mass of several million people around the planet who are modeled on, say, the Move On organization, where you have millions of people that become motivated to intervene immediately on many of these hot-button issues, once we have that occurring in the exopolitical field, then I think we've reached the critical mass. At the moment, it seems that what we have is just a very few. I mean, basically, we are the pioneers. We are the ones that are opening up these issues, these exopolitical issues, and every day more people come online, and it's just a snowball effect, and very soon we will reach that critical mass where millions of people around the planet will basically embrace these exopolitical issues, that they will support these documents, support our initiatives, support our conferences, and basically make themselves aware. And once we reach that point, I think then the galactic community, the galactic councils, will look at us and say, okay, they've finally reached the awakening point, the critical mass. Many people talk about that critical mass, and I think we're getting close, but it's like we're not quite there yet, and so we're having to struggle. We're having to do a lot of the heavy shoulder work here just between those few of us who are involved in this field, and we're shouldering a lot of weight, but, you know, we're doing it because that is really our job, and we are going to succeed in awakening many millions of people to these truths. And I think once that happens, then I think the ball will be rolling, and it's unstoppable. And then I think the Galactic Federation and councils will show up.
Right, right. So that I'm thinking that perhaps we should start shifting, or think about shifting, more toward roundtable or think tank type of a format. Say, for example, when we come to conferences like the X Conference on September 14th to 16th in Washington, D.C., or even in our general activities, we can take some portion of the time to brainstorm how to enroll people in just this very simple act of publicly asserting their right to negotiate directly with extraterrestrials on all matters that affect the well-being of themselves, of ourselves, all humans, and of the planet, and that they direct that affirmation to the Galactic Federation and generally out to the planet, and that we have this kind of a snowball effect, because we know from the public opinion polls, the Roper poll, for example, that 48% of the public believes that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth now. So we have a fertile public that may involve themselves in this process.
I think it's very important that as many people as possible to rally around these ideas, like that particular proclamation that you mentioned, or the Hawaii Declaration of Peaceful Relations, that people rally around these ideas. So I think at the forthcoming X conference, for example, it would be very helpful if there was an adoption by consensus. A consensus process is used at the conference for adopting something like what you've just read out. That I think would be very helpful, because once you have people reading a document like that and agreeing to the precise wording, and then they all say yes, I think that is a very powerful signal. And so if you have like 500, 700, 800 people at the X conference all agreeing to this, and they all walk away with one copy and share it with their communities, I think that is a very powerful force. I think what you're generating is a wave of consciousness here and a collective agreement. So I would definitely encourage you to share that and promote that at the X conference, and I think that would be very helpful, and I would certainly be behind you and support that as well.
Excellent. We're just at about just have a minute or so, and I wondered if you could just tell us a bit about the Exopolitics Institute, maybe in these last 30 seconds, and how people can access its work.
Well, the Exopolitics Institute has a website, exopoliticsinstitute.org, and there is a number of activities that are supported by the Institute. We have conferences that we have supported. There is also a teaching program, the Exopolitics Certification Program, that people can learn about exopolitics by enrolling in courses, so that is very helpful. We have regular updates there, so people can see the latest updates on the Exopolitics Institute website. We also have a journal where, for example, some of Alfred's articles have recently been published, and so there's a journal where you can go and learn more about exopolitics. So I would recommend people to just simply go to the Exopolitics Institute website and learn about the initiatives, and if you can, become a member and support our work, and we would certainly appreciate the support you have.
Well, great. And that website again is?
exopoliticsinstitute.org.
Oh, good. Okay, well, we've been with Dr. Michael Sala, who's the director of the Exopolitics Institute, who is our Exopolitics commentator here at Exopolitics Radio. And we want to thank you, Michael, for your continued participation here in Exopolitics Radio and your support of Exopolitics Radio. And we look forward to your continued contributions in the future.
Thank you, Alfred, and thank you for doing this important work.
Excellent. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you very much, and please stay tuned.
Tune in to the final frontier of political talk. Exopolitics Radio premieres Saturday, March 10 at 8 p.m. on 1480 KPHX. What is Exopolitics Radio? Exopolitics is defined as the science of relations between our Earth and advanced intelligent civilizations in the universe. Find out more by tuning in to the universal premiere of Exopolitics Radio, Saturday, March 10 at 8 p.m. or by logging on to www.exopoliticsradio.com.
This is your host, Alfred Weber. Would you like to download instantly the book Exopolitics by Alfred Weber that founded the field of exopolitics and was a cosmic trigger to a paradigm shift of opening to extraterrestrial civilizations? Would you like to download a CD-ROM of Exopolitics Radio Season 1 uncut version with interviews you have not heard on air? You can do so now by going right now to our website, www.exopoliticsradio.com, and downloading. There is no shipping, there is no waiting. Downloading the book Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe by Alfred Weber, and the CD-ROM Exopolitics Radio Season 1 Uncut Version. You'll be helping yourself, Exopolitics, and Exopolitics Radio into Season 2. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We've been listening to a program on the subject of extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace. And if you look at it, this is probably the fundamental reason that the extraterrestrial civilizations are here. Their initial intervention in this phase appears to have been triggered at some level by the human, read U.S., read Skull and Bones, Rockefeller interests, City of London, use of the atomic bomb at the end of World War II, nuclear weapons. And we now know that the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were dropped at the explicit orders of Henry Stimson, Secretary of War, who overrode other considerations within the military and other advisors who did not want to use the nuclear weapons. And Henry Stimson himself was a member of the Brotherhood of Death Network and a deep Rockefeller operative. So we're having the repetition of this story over and over. When the extraterrestrial ambassadors met with President Dwight D. Eisenhower, reportedly on February 20th, 1954, to seek the abolition of the U.S. nuclear weapons program, they were faced 9 days later with the Bravo test of the 15-megaton hydrogen bomb. So it's this circle that goes forward over and over again. And here in 2007, we have extraterrestrial civilizations once again seeking world peace under a unified higher plan, and all extraterrestrial civilizations reporting in under that, including the small grays, who have reportedly been in secret human extraterrestrial liaison programs with the U.S. government over the past 60 years. So clearly it is time for all of us to switch any allegiance that you possibly have from the permanent war economy over to advanced extraterrestrial ethical civilizations as our strategic partners. This is Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Finis Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX, Progressive Talk Phoenix, and the Nova M Network. Executive Producer Richard Romero Sr., Director R.V. Romero, Producer and Editor Chris Romero. I am your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and extraterrestrial world peace-induced day, week, and life. Thank you.